and welcome to another podcast. This podcast is dedicated to pain management during the partum and postpartum periods. Medications are labeled according to category with respect to their risk during these periods. Category A describes medications with adequate, well-controlled studies that have not shown an increased risk of fetal abnormalities. Category B describes medications in which studies have been performed on animals and have revealed no harm to the fetus. However, there are no adequate and well-controlled studies in pregnant women. Or, the animal studies have shown an adverse effect, but adequate and well-controlled studies in pregnant women have failed to demonstrate a risk to the fetus. This is a category that includes acetaminophen, butorphanol, nalbuphine, caffeine, methadone, fentanyl, meperidine, morphine, oxycodone, oxymorphone, NSAIDs such as ibuprofen, naproxen, indomethacin, drugs such as prednisone and prednisolone. Category C is a group of medications in which animal studies have shown adverse fetal effects and there are no adequate and well-controlled studies in pregnant women, or no animal studies have been conducted and there is no adequate or well-controlled studies in pregnant women. Drugs in this category include aspirin, ketorolac, amitriptyline, betamethasone, codeine, propoxyphene, hydrocodone, gabapentin, lidocaine, propranolol, and sumatriptan. Category D describes studies that are adequate and well-controlled or observational in pregnant women and have demonstrated a risk to the fetus. However, the benefits of the therapy may outweigh the potential risk. The medications in this category include imipramine, carbamazepine, cortisone, Valium or diazepine, phenobarbital, phenytoin, and valproic acid. Category X includes a category in which studies are adequate and well-controlled or observational in animals and pregnant women and have demonstrated a positive evidence of fetal abnormalities. These products are contraindicated in pregnant women or women who may become pregnant, and they include ergotamine. This list was taken from Benzone's book on The Essentials of Pain Medicine and Regional Anesthesia, 2nd edition. Almost all medications are secreted into breast milk or cross the placenta to the fetus. The mechanism of transport is similar to those of drugs crossing any membrane. Diffusion is usually passive, and the concentration in the umbilical vein or breast milk depends on the concentration gradient, lipid solubility of the medication, its degree of ionization, and protein binding. The diffusion capacity of the membrane is also an important factor, and this may change throughout pregnancy. It may be difficult to predict the effects on the fetus because of the varying concentrations of the drugs and different effects that may alter the uptake and absorption across the membrane. Changes in gastrointestinal function can also alter drug absorption in the mother. Renal elimination is generally increased because of an increased glomerular filtration rate during pregnancy. Hepatic metabolism may also be increased, decreased, or unchanged, and the increase in total body water may also alter drug distribution and peak concentrations. During pregnancy, protein binding is usually decreased. However, the free drug concentration may be unchanged because of increased drug clearance. During pregnancy, cardiac output also increases greatly. Serum creatinine levels decrease, and levels above 0.98 suggest an underlying renal disease. Alkaline phosphatase levels nearly double. The resulting changes in cardiac output will affect the amount of drug crossing the placenta. Maternal levels of the drug will depend on the route given, epidural, intravascular, or oral, the total dose of the drug, and the dosing interval. The fetal levels of exposure will be determined partially by the previous factors and partially by fetal metabolism. The fetal protein binding, the first pass through the liver, and distribution of drug affected by cardiac output and volume of distribution will all determine the concentrations of drug influencing the fetus. When an analgesic must be used in a pregnant woman, acetaminophen is usually the drug of choice. It is a Category B medication and does not affect prostaglandin synthesis and has no known teratogenic effects. Generally speaking, NSAIDs have no role for routine pain control in pregnancy. They decrease pain by inhibiting the prostaglandin synthesis And the category usually changes throughout pregnancy depending on the drug. Ibuprofen is category B for the first and second trimester. However, all NSAIDs are category D in the third trimester. Prostaglandins affect uterine activity, fetal output, and hence amniotic fluid levels and the patency of the fetal ductus arteriosus. Any interference with these processes can lead to dysfunction, and therefore it is recommended to discontinue NSAIDs by the 34th week of pregnancy. Of course, avoiding the drug altogether is preferred. Overall, opiate medications have a fairly decent track record in pregnancy with respect to teratogenic effects. The main concern is neonatal opioid dependence and the withdrawal syndrome, which may be mild or severe. In severe cases, the neonate may present with seizures. Withdrawal in the pregnant patient can be dangerous to the patient as well as the fetus. Therefore, regardless of the reason for opioid dependence or use, it is recommended that the opioids be maintained until delivery. This would include methadone for maintenance programs as well. Benzodiazepines have been associated with congenital abnormalities such as cleft lip or palate, inguinal hernias, spastic diplegia, duodenal atresia, and congenital heart disease. The evidence supporting these anomalies is conflicting in certain cases. However, it is prudent to withhold benzodiazepines in the pregnant patient if possible. Respiratory depression, fetal hypothermia, hyperbilirubinemia, and withdrawal symptoms at birth have been seen when giving benzodiazepines to the mother. In general, steroids have not been associated with congenital anatomical syndromes. However, high-dose systemic use may affect fetal lung maturity and the production of cortisol within the fetus. Short-term topical use for acute ailments is safe, but it is recommended to choose the lowest dose possible. Antidepressants are commonly prescribed to patients who suffer from pain or depression. Drugs commonly used for both include amitriptyline, nortriptyline, and duloxetine. Amitriptyline and nortriptyline are category D, while duloxetine is a category C medication. SSRIs are recommended not to be used. However, if they are used, they should be avoided in the third trimester due to an association with persistent pulmonary hypertension of the newborn. In addition, paroxetine is a category D medication as it is associated with congenital cardiac defects such as VSD when used during organogenesis. When treating migraines in the pregnant patient, some practitioners will use caffeine as it is a category B medication. It is usually used in combination with analgesics for treatment of vascular headaches, but high doses can cause fetal newborn heart rate changes as well as arrhythmias. Triptans, which are category C medications, have limited data but do not show any strong teratogenic effects. Beta blockers are used for prophylaxis, and they include pindolol, which is a category B medication. Once again, ergot alkaloids are pregnancy category X drugs and can cause uterine contractions that may lead to premature labor or abortion. There's also a possible increased risk of birth defects, and these medications must be avoided. Local anesthetics may be used for various reasons during pregnancy as well. Lidocaine is category B. However, bupivacaine, mepivacaine, and septocaine or articaine are category C medications. So far, there is no association with congenital anomalies when using these medications. Anticonvulsants such as phenytoin, carbamazepine, or valproic acid should be avoided during pregnancy. There is an increased risk of birth defects when taking these medications and comparing to the normal population. Neural tube defects may be seen, and this is usually related to changes in folate absorption. Common pain complaints during pregnancy include muscle aches, back aches, hip pain, and round ligament pain. While muscle pain is usually the most common reason for patients seeking medical attention, more serious causes must be ruled out, such as chest pain related to cardiac ischemia or GERD, appendicitis, which may happen in pregnancy, nephrolithiasis, which is also common, relatively speaking, among pregnant patients, and can be caused by urostasis as a result of an enlarged uterus putting pressure on the ureter. Hydronephrosis may be seen on ultrasound. and there may be the typical findings of lower quadrant flank pain, severe pain with nausea, emesis, leukocytosis, hematuria, and CVA tenderness. Imaging would be recommended. Often patients will complain of leg cramps, and it may be treated with hydration, calcium with milk or antacids, potassium, either in supplement form or bananas, but of course DVT must be excluded during pregnancy. Back pain is also quite common during pregnancy, and preterm labor and nerve compression should be excluded. However, it is usually related to the exaggerated lumbar lordosis and the extra weight the patient is carrying. Recommendations for treatment include rest, acetaminophen, massage, physical therapy, and maintaining a well-hydrated patient. Hip pain is also quite common and may be related to relaxin produced by the placenta that loosens joints and eases delivery. As back and hip pain are quite common, support devices and belts can be quite helpful. They include the prenatal cradle, trochanteric belt, and the prenatal sling. In addition, physical therapy and staying well hydrated will help decrease the amount of days missed from work. Pain arising from the round ligament is quite common and worrisome to pregnant patients. The pain is usually unilateral and follows activity or changes in position. It can be severe and is not associated with fever, rebound tenderness, or other pathological symptoms suggestive of an acute abdomen. The condition is usually treated with rest and acetaminophen. When working up a pregnant patient, it is recommended to avoid ionizing radiation. Below 10 rads or 100 milligrays, no growth, structural, or anatomic or mental abnormalities have been associated. Additionally, if an X-ray must be performed, the fetus may be shielded by lead. Opioid antagonists such as Stadol, otherwise known as butorphanol, or Nubain, otherwise known as nalbuphine, should not be given to patients on methadone, as this may precipitate a withdrawal syndrome, which may be harmful to the patient and the fetus. Anesthesiologists sometimes use buprenorphine for post-surgical pain control, but this should be avoided in these patients for the same reasons. That's all we have now for this podcast. Thanks for joining us. For future updates, go to painexam.com and find out more information as to what's coming next, such as future audio files and more pain management board review questions.